Wow, it's really good to see all of you here and Hope Church at home. My mom asked me, she goes, could you kind of wave or something at me? So, Mom, hi. We've started this series called Life in the Ring. And any boxer can tell you, in order to be your best, you've got to understand the skills and the tendency that your opponent is trying to use against you. The better you can recognize what they're doing is the better opportunity you have to counter that. And so if you're going to be a believer and you're really going to live life in the ring, the last time that we talked, I said this. Satan has a right hook, and it's called division. Any time you find division, Satan is at work. I also said that the devil has an uppercut punch, and that is deception. He wants to trap you in sin. He wants you to be twisted away from the truth of God so that you will live in error. And if he can't trap you in sin and he can't trap your thinking and twist you to live in error, then he wants you to trade your trust in God. He'll do anything he can to have you fear. He wants us absolutely fearful so that we're paralyzed. And then there's another thing that the devil would like to use against you. This is much more sinister. It's so sneaky that we don't even realize this punch is coming. Let me say it to you this way. When I was in high school, there was a guy named Doug. And Doug always picked on me. No matter what, I was Doug's little person to pick on. Doug was the goalie for the water polo team, and he was huge. And all the time he would pick on me, and I had learned from a friend down the street a self-defense technique. And I thought, you know, I'm just going to try this on Doug the next time he picks on me. And so, sure enough, Doug picked on me. And there was a crowd around, and I said, Doug, picture this as his shoulder. I said, I can put my hand on you and do that, and I can knock you down. Just like that. I'll knock you down. Doug laughs. He goes, let's see you do it, Brewer. He asked me to hit him. What he didn't know was this was just a distraction strategy. So here is Doug. I put my arm on him. He asked me to hit him. I would recommend that none of our kids try this. And so it was in less than the blink of an eye. As I went like this, I also took my left leg and jammed it as hard as I could into his thigh. Okay. That worked. And it worked so well, Doug was on the ground screaming. And he was screaming things at me that were very bad. And so before Doug got up, I chose to leave. I thought, I want to live another day. Now, I mean, this is the honest truth. I, no joke, the rest of my sophomore year, and it was Doug's senior year, I think he thought I quit the high school because I successfully and fearfully hid from him. Now, this is a punch that in some ways you could call it the sucker punch. It's a punch you never expected. It's a punch that causes a lot of pain because you never saw it coming. It would stand to reason the devil would try to deceive you. It would stand to reason that he would try to create division. But here's the punch that we never see coming. It's the punch of distraction. He wants to distract you. He wants to distract me from having a spiritually productive life. It's the same punch that he threw at Jesus over and over again. Right, I mean, mean right before Jesus is going to enter into his public ministry. This is what happens in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. It says this, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted, and he became very hungry. During that time the devil came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread.'" Hey, Jesus, God will not provide for you. So you better let me help. God's not going to provide. You've got to focus on this. But Jesus told him, "No, the scriptures say people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, "If you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scriptures say he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." He tells Jesus right up front, God won't provide, and by the way, God won't protect you. If he really will protect you, then jump and let's see what will happen. Because you can't trust God. He's not going to provide for you, Jesus. You're here on your own. And I'm here for you, is what the devil was saying. He's not going to provide and he's not going to protect you because now it's you and me and you're not up there. You're on your own. Jesus responded, "The scriptures also say, 'You must not test the Lord your God.'" Next, the devil took him to a peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. "I will give it all to you," he said, "if you'll kneel down and worship me." He's about to start his ministry. He's about to show the world why he came. God will not provide for you. God will not protect you when it's just you and me. And by the way, you're here and God will never promote you. So the only way for you to get ahead is to do it my way, to do it the world's way. And the devil so bad wants you distracted. He wants you to think that God's not going to provide. You're on your own. God won't protect you. You're on your own. And that God will never promote you. So you better do it the devil's way. Jesus responds in verse 10. "Get out of here, Satan," Jesus told him, "for the scriptures say, 'You must worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Then the devil went away, and the angels came and took care of Jesus. All of this distraction right before Jesus launches into the very purpose he came to earth, his public ministry. You see, Jesus chose to live on purpose. He knew that God was going to provide. He knew that God would protect. He knew that God would promote him. And if Satan can distract you from spiritual priorities, he wants to render you useless for the plans and purposes you were created. And the bottom line is this: Satan knows he can't destroy Jesus. So his plan is to destroy those who claim to know Jesus and to love Jesus. And it's through a sneaky and devastating sucker punch that he wants to throw at each of us. Let's just talk about this for a couple moments. I know you're busy. We're all busy. But being so busy that we forget God's purpose and his plan for his life is exactly where the devil will knock you out. It's not bad to be busy. It's not bad. But our world is so sneaky. It's so full of distraction, and it's the most dangerous because we don't even recognize it. Let's just consider for a moment how much TV people watch. Or Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Twitter. How about video games, Instagram, Snapchat? These are just to name a few. Now, I want you to see something on the screen here. This is new data, and I don't know how easy that is to see. Oh, it's very easy to see. I can tell you this. We spend over 15 years of our lives engaged in media, and only a year and 8 months cleaning house. Some of you need to clean your house more. I mean, think about this. 15 years of your life is spent engaged in media. Again, I don't care if you're busy. We're all busy. But if you're so busy that you can't fulfill the plan that God has for your life, you have just been knocked out. Do you realize that your time matters? And the devil wants you distracted. Why? Because he doesn't want you to seek the Lord and become a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. Because seeking the Lord takes time. It takes time to pray. It takes time to learn the Word of God. But how did we just see that Jesus successfully combated the punches of the devil? He knew the Word of God. We live today in the most biblically illiterate situation that we've ever lived in. People do not know their Bibles. When's the last time you read your Bible? When is the last time you spent time in prayer? Do you see how sneaky the sucker punch is? The devil wants you so busy that you don't have time to seek God. He wants you so consumed with the news. And read the studies on Facebook. You know what Facebook does to people? It makes them angry. But, you know, I spend time. I'm looking at this. I'm watching surf videos. I mean, July 4th, the Wedge, it's a surf spot in California that's not supposed to surf. I watched like an hour worth of videos watching people get destroyed surfing the Wedge. Now, it's not bad. But if I never read my Bible and I never pray, I just got hit with a sucker punch. Here's another thing the devil wants to do in terms of distraction. He doesn't want you seeking the Lord. He also wants you to believe you're the most important person on the planet because he doesn't want you to have any time to serve the Lord. God gave you talents. The problem is a lot of people only use the talents that God gave them to promote themselves and their own self-ambitions. The devil sucker punches you into thinking so selfishly that you forget what the Bible says about your life. I mean, Paul wrote this to the church of Ephesus, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the things he planned for us long ago." Do you understand that God actually calls you a masterpiece? And that God created things for you long ago that you were supposed to do. But if you're so self-absorbed, you're so busy doing your own thing. I mean, the devil wants you to serve yourself and to spend your energy and your money and your time acquiring things for yourself. The devil would love it if you needed and wanted so many things that you were actually completely stressed out in debt. Because it's a beautiful knockout punch. He wants you so stressed out and so in debt that you do nothing to promote the kingdom of God. That when it comes to giving to the church, when it comes to giving to missions, you've got nothing to give. What a sucker punch. We actually believe that more is better. And we live stressed out. It's the punch we never saw coming. It's the punch of distraction. The devil wants you so busy, so self-absorbed, that you don't have time to seek God. And you definitely don't have time to serve God. Hey, do you know what happens when a boxer gets knocked out? The answer is pretty simple. Nothing good. Even though they're in the ring, they're out of the fight. But here's the problem. They don't even realize it. Oh, they're in the ring, but they're out of the fight. They're on their back. They're knocked out. By the time they wake up, it's too late. They're finished. Fight's over. And the victor is being celebrated. Well, friends, this is what the devil has planned for you. He wants you to believe that you're the most important person in the room. He wants you to believe that you're so busy you don't have time to seek God. He wants you to believe that you're so busy you don't have time to serve God. The devil could care less if you're in the ring, providing you're knocked out on your back. Now, this isn't a bad time to ask ourselves a personal question. What in your life says, I'm seeking? I don't care if you've been a believer for 20 years. You can be a believer for 20 years, and the truth is, you've been a believer for a year, and you've never grown since then. You've just done it 20 different times. Now, I'm not against anybody, and I challenge myself with this. But what in your life says that you're seeking God? What in your life, leave me out of the picture, would Jesus say, this is what you're doing for me to promote the kingdom, to push back the gates of hell, and to promote God Almighty in this world? We're not just supposed to isolate. We're supposed to infiltrate. We're supposed to be believers. I know you're busy. I'm busy. But if Jesus were to ask you, and he is asking you, can you just tell me how you're seeking me? Because the devil wants to tell you that God will never provide for you, and that God will never protect you, and that God will never promote you. So you got to do it on your own. You got to do it the ways of this world. How many of us, if we were to be honest, had no idea we're actually knocked out? We're on our back cold. Oh, we're in the ring. This is a time where true believers cannot live like practical atheists. That we say in our head we believe, but our behavior acts like an atheist. This is a time where God is asking you to seek him. This is a time where God is asking you to serve him. Here's why. In 1 John, and this is when John is much older in life, and he's admonishing the church. He's not angry, he's admonishing. And he says this, been Christians a long time, you know. He says, loving God means keeping his commands. And his commandments are not burdensome. If you're truly seeking the Lord and you're truly serving the Lord, there is a joy and a maturity in your life that you can't get from just doing the things of this world. And then he says this, for every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. How do you not get knocked out from being deceived, from being divided? How do you not get knocked out by the devil when he tries to distract you? It's growing in your faith. That's how we defeat the enemy. What does real faith look like? Jesus says faith is about what you do, not about what you say. Matthew wrote it this way: not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. James says, if you have faith, but you don't have works, he says, congratulations, you're on the level of demons. Because demons believe. Demons believe in the Lord. I don't want to be on the level of a demon. Do you see how devastating this punch is? You don't even see it coming. I mean, when I hit Doug, I didn't even know it was going to work. And it worked. It completely, I mean, this guy is huge. Completely knocked him down. I was even shocked that it worked. Where are you going? Oh, I'm not done for a while. So you might as well sit down. No, I'm just getting warmed up. Be not deceived. We are not done until I'm done. You can sit at the piano. I know you want me to be done. I'm not done. I love Kevin. And he knows it. Hey, listen, friends. Here's the hardest part of this. When the devil keeps you from seeking and he keeps you from serving, he doesn't have to worry about you sharing Jesus with others. And you know why that is? Because you have nothing a not yet Christian wants to hear. You've got nothing. Oh man, when I accepted God 25 years ago at camp, it was awesome. Well, what have you done for 25 years? Hey, when I accepted Christ 25 years ago, it was awesome. Fantastic. What have you done for 25 years? Well, nothing. You're judgmental. What? How come we're biblically illiterate? Because we're too busy. How come we don't pray? Because we're too busy. And if you're not seeking, you're not serving, there's no reason for you to be sharing the gospel because you're on your back and you're knocked out. You just don't know it. I try to be really nice at the end. But these are not times to be wimpy Christians. The world is desperately looking for you and me to have a faith that works. Doesn't mean we shouldn't be prudent. I'm not talking about if you wear a mask or don't wear a mask, or if you're wanting to isolate or not isolate. If you're at home or you're here, God is calling you. And he has a plan for you. And the devil wants to sucker punch you. Okay, here's the nice part. And then, Kevin, I'll be done and you can play really, really soft and pretty because I think we need it. Here's what I said, and I tried to write it down so you'd get it. I hope you get the idea today. There's nothing wrong with being busy, but being so busy that you forget God and his plan for your life is a major issue. The disciple John said it this way: dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your heart. Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your heart. Okay, come and play real nice. understand the devil's plan is to hurt you. Absolutely to come for the purpose to kill, steal, and destroy you. He does not play fair. He'll do whatever he can to convince you that God will never provide for you. And that you're on your own. Forget what Solomon says in the book of Ecclesiastes, that there is an appointed day for you to go. And there's nothing you can do to get away from that day. But it's God's day for you and me to meet our Maker. Forget that the Bible says that. And, you know, you just fear, because God won't protect you. You're on your own. That's what the devil said to Jesus. And Jesus combated that. Oh, that's good. That's good. Jesus combated that. How did he do it? Through the Word of God. If you never pick this up, you're on your back on the mat and you're knocked out. And guess what happens when a boxer's knocked out? They have no idea. The devil's plan is to absolutely destroy your life. He'll do anything and everything he can, and his most sneaky punch is distraction. We make it super simple here at Hope. How do you grow in God? You spend time seeking him. I don't care when you do it, you just have to do it, or you'll never grow. You got to spend time serving him. What does that look like today? We have people who come in during the week when nobody's here and clean. That's serving him. We have people who have been pulling weeds. I'd love for some people who would just say, boy, I'd like to call down the church phone list. Just tell people I love them and maybe pray for people. There's things you can do. And then there's people who need to know, is there any hope? How come so many people are Googling how to pray? How come so many people are wanting to know about faith? Because we're desperate. But people are going to become more desperate if you don't become deliberate. The devil is deliberate. He deliberately wants to take you out on the mat. You're still breathing. You're just completely ineffective. You pray for me today, and I pray for you. I pray for you, friends at home. And you pray for me that I wouldn't fall into this trap, that I'm so busy I forget that long ago God called me a masterpiece. And long ago he said, Jim, there's some things I want you to do to combat the devil so that God would be exalted, the devil would be defeated, and that we will see Jesus proclaimed as the Lord. I pray for you. You pray for me. Kevin continues to play a nice song, and Jessica comes up and leads us in our final song. And I went over more than I should have. There's a timer up there that's saying, you're done. Well, you're right, I am now. Thank you. Father, you're so good to us. You're not a God who's disappointed in us. You loved us when we never acknowledged your name. You're not disappointed in us, but I know you can be disappointed for us, because you call us a masterpiece and you planned things for us to do. And when we don't do those things, I know you're disappointed. Not in us, but for us. God, how many of us that you have blessings that are supposed to be in our lives, but because we choose not to seek you, we don't get those blessings. So we're trying to promote ourselves. We're trying to protect ourselves. You know, we're trying all these things that don't work. God, I love Hope Church and I miss Hope Church, those who are at home. But I pray for each of us that we are serious. We are serious when we're in the ring. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be a little introspective right now. Would you tell us if we're doing okay when it comes to seeking? Are we spending enough time with you, Lord? Are we receiving all the blessings you have for us? Would you tell us if we think we're far too important and all we're doing is using our talents for ourselves and we're neck deep in debt and we have no resources for kingdom principles? Would you remind us, Lord, the last time we showed Jesus to a lost and dying world? The last time that we modeled what it looks like to be a true believer? Would you help us, Lord, just to be a little introspective right now? We definitely want to be above the demons who believe. Thank you, Lord, for Hope Church. I love Hope Church. I love the people. Lord, and I do pray that you would bless us, that you would keep us, Lord, that your face would radiate about us, and that, Lord, you would convince us to take one more step closer to you. We're going to need it. We're going to need it if we're going to be effective in the ring against the tricks and the lies and the deceiving, the divisions, the distractions that the devil throws at us. Help us, we pray. I pray for my friends as they pray for me. Keep us strong in you, Lord, we pray. Amen.